Good afternoon, everybody. It seems a while since I've been at the front. A few things have happened between then and now. Now, thank you for your prayers over the weeks when we were ill. I'm glad to tell you I feel much better. Much better. Hallelujah. Given today's message a title, it's been on the way a while, this one, A Child of God. Amen. You and I are children of God. We heard that today. And each one of us is a child of God. Now you might think, well, I'm 20, I'm 40, I'm 60, I'm 80, I'm not a child. But in God's eyes, we are a child of God. It says somewhere about us, coming as little children, as a little child. And that's what I wanted to share this afternoon. Now, the interesting thing is, I read a word for today. I don't tend to perhaps catch it every day, but a couple of times recently, I don't know whether if you look at this, sometimes the day you read something for that day, it's almost as if somebody knows. It's almost as if somebody knows what is happening in your life. It's happened today. Yeah. Anybody read today's UCB? Right. It says today, it says, God has a good plan for you. Amen. God has a good plan for you. And it's taken a verse from Jeremiah. I know the plans I have for you. I said we're a child of God. And a child is always answerable to its parent. Yeah. You notice that when you were little, when you were growing up, it was your parents that you were answered to. Yeah. If you got into trouble anywhere, it's your parents that dealt with it. Mm-hmm. And dealt with you probably as well. Certainly did with me at times. I just want to read this scripture. Look at it from perspective that you are the you that it's talking about. It's the Jeremiah 29:11 is the scripture page. It says, read this scripture. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. The Israelites went through a long period of suffering because of their sins, 70 years of captivity. But God said, I still have a plan for you. Have you sinned and gone through a season of correction, and now you're wondering if God has turned his back on you? God may correct you, but he will never reject you. Remember that. Amen. God may correct you, but he will never reject you. Two chapters later, God says to the same group of people, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. I will rebuild you. Note the word rebuild. Your life may have fallen apart, but God can rebuild it. The Bible's theme is restoration. King David committed adultery and murder, but when he repented, God fully restored him. And the Bible says, after David had done the will of God, in his own generation, he died and was buried with his ancestors. How would you like to have those words on your gravestone? Jochan, the prodigal son, older brother, was angry with their father because he forgave and restored his younger brother. But his father restored him anyway. You cannot undo the fact of your past sins, but God can heal you from the effects of them. Just come to him today. Take that first step. I'll just read that last bit again. You cannot undo the facts of your past sins, but God can heal you from the effects of them. Right? That's the God, the Father, the teacher. I do want a quick advert. What? There's a load of these word for today's on the back table. There's probably a dozen at least. This covers August to October. If you don't take one of these, they're wasted. Now, if you haven't got one, if you don't read it, or pick one of these up and take them. You're at the end of October. I know there's dates on the individual reading, but there's something like 90 days of readings for you to read in that. Take it and enjoy just browsing it. There'll be the new ones any time now, starting in November. Have I got some there? Oh, they are. Now then, they were underneath. So, right, August to October, November to January. That's the advert. They don't replace reading God's word, but they are good. When you sit and eat in your breakfast, put that in front of you while you're troughing away and just read the day. It's just surprising how God will just touch you with something on a day when you think nobody knows, nobody cares, nobody's listening. And suddenly God comes up with something special. Okay, that's today's advert. A child of God. We are children of God because we've heard it mentioned. We don't really think about us being a child. But we're in a training program. A lifetime training program. Whatever your age you are learning something. If you're not learning something, you're dead. We're in a training program. And I don't mean Andrew's training program. This is God's training program. This is a lifetime thing. We'll just read a couple of scriptures. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. It says, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." So a good place to go on your journey of learning is this book. That's where we need to go. One place I went to regarding the child and training, this is probably what it's sent for. I looked at a scripture, because the last time I preached, I think it was our preaching message about children. But Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, is the verse that set me off on this journey. And it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Now, initially, I thought that does refer to young children. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought, that really relates to me. Because I'm learning continually. And sometimes we don't know we're learning. We don't know we're taking things in. So this train up a child in the way he should go is establishing a lifestyle. Amen. Now often when we're growing up, we establish wrong lifestyles. Yeah. Not probably right across the spectrum, but the certain areas of our lives where we're establishing the wrong foundation. And perhaps we don't necessarily know. But we set up our lives on the basis of a number of things, what's happening around us, peer pressure, our own emotions, all sorts of things. But we establish things that are wrong as well as right, because we've learnt from the wrong sources. Now this Proverbs chapter 22 verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. So we're training ourselves in God. We're training ourselves to understand how we should live, how we should proceed. But you see, we have to go to the right source for our training. And as a child, we go to our parents. Now, in the natural, you might have parents that haven't been all they should be. But you see, God is the perfect parent. He's the one who is perfect in every way. And he will bring you in the right direction with the right values, the right outlook, and taking you to the right destination. So when we start establishing lifestyle, we establish ourselves in him. You see, I'm the child, you're the child. We're all children. If we lose that concept, we lose the ability to learn, to be trained. It says this is a bit of a journey through Proverbs. It's fascinating about Proverbs. But still in chapter 22, verse 15, it says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, and the rod of discipline will remove it far from him. How many of us behave foolishly? Not as children, we've grown up, but we behave foolishly. We do daft, silly things. And quite often it comes back to selfishness. We're self-centered in a lot of things. We try not to be, but there's something natural. I mean, if you see a child, there's nobody more self-centered than a little child. A baby doesn't cry just for the fun of it. A baby cries for attention, and it proceeds from that as they grow. Now, one thing that concerned me on this particular verse is it says, the rod of discipline will remove it far from him. Now, when we talk about the rod, we think, oh no, in this day and age, we don't use the rod. It's not allowed. Interesting that back in Job, when Job were going through all his troubles, Job chapter 9, verse 34 says, let him, that is God, remove his rod from me. So Job, in all his troubles, thought that God had got his rod out to Job. So he was caught in a trap. It was interesting that he came out of it in the right way, because he'd learned who to listen to for his training. Just going back onto this question of children, we call the sons of Abraham, the descendants of Abraham, the children of Israel, Jacob and Israel. We catch hold of that. It rolls off our lips, children of Israel. But the concept of us being a child is more difficult to receive. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." He gave us the right to be his children. We're not naturally born into that, like the Jewish nation identify themselves by birth, by ancestry, back to Abraham. We sort of, I'm not quite sure how Stephen put it, but we're adopted in. We're spiritually children of Abraham, just like the Jewish nation is. We've come by faith into that family. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 3, it says, "Unless you are converted and become as little children..." I had to go back to the Authorized Version. It's, the interesting thing is, "Unless you are converted and become like children," is how it's been altered to. I don't know why. But if you go back to the Authorized Version, it says, "Unless you are converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." So unless we have the connection with God, as a child has to their parents, we can't enter the kingdom of God. I suppose this is somehow, we might be a man thing or something like that sometimes. You don't like to be thought of as a child. You've put away childish things. There is somewhere in the Bible where it says about putting away childish things, but it's not in this context. It's having the connection with God as your Father. It says, "Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom." Yeah. If we learn to connect with the Lord as a child connects with their parents, it says, we'll be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, because we're humbly submitting to God the Father. And it's a concept that is easy in one way to understand, but it's a more difficult thing to actually carry out. So we're going to look at a few things in Proverbs. But first of all, I just want to a word about this rod, because it's mentioned in a few scriptures, particularly in Proverbs. The rod, historically... let me just cover it one thing. We'll talk about the rod in the modern day. And we know how society has changed in its attitude to using the rod. But let me tell you one thing. The abuser will always abuse. Yeah. No matter what the rules are, the abuser will always abuse. God the Father will never abuse. No. And God the Father uses the principle of the rod. Yeah. But God the Father uses it perfectly. Yeah. That is the difference between society's interpretation of using the rod and God's interpretation. Yeah. See, the rod represents authority. Yeah. The power or right to enforce obedience. It's similar to the scepter, which is used in the coronation. That's a symbol of sovereignty, of royalty. And the staff, now I remember a long time ago, Pastor Andrew talked about the rod, and he talked about the rod that Moses had, Aaron had, Aaron that budded. They talked about it in terms of it being an historical thing, a rod. A person would have kept the same rod throughout the life, and there would be things carved on the rod about the history of that person, about the family, all sorts of things. So it's also a record of a person's life, yeah, as well as being a rod, and it's a staff that they use as a shepherd. It's all sorts of things. So the rod is just a lot more than just a stick to beat someone with. Yeah. It's the symbol of authority. So let's start looking at one or two things in Proverbs, because as we go down here, we see that there's certain aspects come out as we look. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 18 tells us that poverty and shame will come to him who neglects or refuses discipline. If you rebel against God's discipline, you're heading for problems. It says poverty and shame. But it says, but he who regards reproof will be honoured. So God's not out to punish you and me. He's out to bring us through reproof so that we will be honoured. You know, a person that shows no respect tends to get no respect. Because he can't deal with it. He doesn't absorb it. So what this is saying is that training brings results. When we go through reproof by the Father, it's bringing us into a place of honour. It's bringing some good results. Proverbs chapter 13, still on verse 24. He who spares his rod hates his son. Now we've got in the back of our mind again this business of abuse. Think of God doing it. He who spares his rod, God spares his rod. These proverbs are written by man, but it's inspired by God. Yeah. He says, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. Yeah. Now we're saying the rod is the symbol of authority. He who shares his rod hates his son. So what he's saying is that if you don't use the rod of discipline, you're hating your son. You're not being right to your son. It says that, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. That word diligently is like earnestly or painstakingly. Training can take a long time. Discipline is a lifelong process. I looked up the word discipline. It has one of these little numbers against it, and you look in the concordance at the back of the Bible. And there's a numerous words that come from discipline. I'll just read them out here. Chastisement, reproof, warning, instruction, restraint, correction, rebuke. A lot of those things that we don't like to go through. But God says, if he disciplines, if he uses the rod on you, and don't think in terms from God's rod just being a stick. You know, Job felt the rod of God on his life. God didn't use a stick. He didn't use a physical rod. But he says, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him. Discipline, warning, instruction, reproof, all those things. You know, I remember somebody once telling me about a story that a little child, that in those days they had open fires in the living room. Might have had a fire guard in front, but they were open fires. Probably there were no fire guard often because you put the kettle on, particularly with the Black Range stoves that some people would remember. And the child had the habit of going towards the fire. Now, if a child touches a fire, it's going to be damaged. So they told the child to stop. And to some extent, the child, you know, he heeded the warning. But again, as soon as the back was turned, it was there going again. going again. So what they did, give it a sharp smack on the hand. The child stopped. The child then was afraid to go near the fire, but it saved the child's life. Because had the child got to the extent of putting the hand in the fire, it would have suffered a lot more than a smack on the hand. And that effectively, the smack was the rod. But in that particular instance, it saved the child from something much worse. God sometimes might do that to us. Yeah. He'll give us a smack on the hand to warn us of greater danger if we proceeded in whatever we were doing. Let's go on to Proverbs chapter 15, verse 5. A fool rejects or despises his father's discipline. Yeah. We live very much in a day of rebellion.
Yeah,
you see so many young people are in rebellion. And you talk to teachers at school, and there's a loss to how to deal with them. They exclude them, they do different things, but it doesn't resolve the basic thing that the child is in rebellion. But it goes back to train up a child in the way it should go. It goes back to that fundamental. Train the child in the way it should go, and when he is older, he'll not lose that discipline. He'll not lose that training, not lose that thing. But he says, a fool rejects his father's discipline, but he who regards reproof is prudent. Now, prudence is something where you sort of take care in what you're doing to make sure you do it right. The one who's prudent when the woodworker that is prudent will measure twice and cut once, if you get what I mean. The tradesman who wants to do it right will measure twice and cut once, and then he knows he's got it right. But you see, this Proverbs chapter 15, verse 5, is warning about rebellion. We've talked about selfishness. We've talked about training bringing results. We've talked now about rebellion, the dangers of rebellion. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 1 says, a wise son accepts his father's discipline. A wise son accepts his father's discipline. Do you accept God's discipline when God disciplines you? It can be unpleasant when we can get into a state, perhaps selfishness or selfish ambition or whatever, that puts us in a wrong position. And God's there saying, hold it, hold it, stop. Now, if we listen, we're wise. It says, but if we don't, we're heading for a downfall. It says, a wise son accepts his father's discipline, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. We use that word scoffing in various forms. Eating's one of the things we use it for. But to scoff is to belittle, to mock, deride, show contempt for. That's what a scoffer does. You get times when the young people today won't accept the father's discipline. Now, I know there's sort of all areas where fathers are not as they should be. But when we're talking about the discipline of between right and wrong and how a child should go, a child should listen. This is the same with the teachers who are trying to tell them the right way. The teachers have their hands tied behind the back because they're not allowed to discipline. That's why exclusion and other things have come in. It just puts the problem out somewhere else. But the scoffer doesn't listen to rebuke. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34 says that he, God, scoffs at the scoffers. He scoffs at the scoffers. Because, you see, the scoffer again is in rebellion. But this is talking about obedience, actually. A wise son accepts his father's discipline. A wise son listens to his father. Do you listen to God the Father when he wants to talk to you about something, to tell you to go in a different direction, perhaps to what you're going in, or to tell you to hold back on something you want to jump into? It's a minefield for the human population because human fathers are imperfect. But you see, we're looking here at the discipline of God the Father.
Yeah.
And the discipline of God the Father will always be perfect.
Amen.
There was a scripture in Proverbs chapter 23, if you want to turn to that, if you've got your Bible. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 12 to 16. Now, this does talk about the rod, and it gives it straight as well. Just going to read from verse 12 to 16. It says, apply your heart to discipline, and your ears to words of knowledge. Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you beat him with the rod, he will not die. Great, great. I mean, this is Bible. I'm reading the Bible. It's not my words. Say, though you beat him with the rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with the rod and deliver his soul from Sheol.
Yeah.
You see, you're caught between two things here. You don't beat him, you spoil him, and he ends in hell. You beat him, and you feel like... But the thing is, we've got to come back again to God is doing the disciplining in our lives. We're on a lifelong journey of learning with God. And he says, verse 15, it says, my son, if your heart is wise, your own heart will also be glad. And my innermost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. It's to bring a result. When God disciplines, it's to bring a result. It has no end in itself in terms of punishment. God does not wish to punish. It's not in the nature of love to punish. Doesn't exist. Forgiveness and healing and deliverance is what brings us through. Proverbs 29:15, it said the rod and reproof give wisdom. Rod mixed together with reproof gives wisdom. But a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. That's how a spoilt child, the direction a spoilt child goes in is away from the discipline. It's I know it's a sense of rebellion, but a child who gets his own way. Now, that doesn't mean you never let the child have things. It means a child who perpetually gets their own way is heading for a problematic adulthood when they grow up. Because life is not like that. We don't get our own way, And we have to learn how to deal with it, and we have to learn to stay in respect. So the rod of reproof gives wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. That's the results. You see the results both ways there. Without the rod and reproof, a child goes in the wrong direction. We would go in the wrong direction. If God never reproved us, we would go in the wrong direction. Yeah. Because our nature, our fleshly nature, is selfish.
Yeah.
Proverbs 29, verse 17. I told you we're going through Proverbs today. Correct your son, and he will give you comfort. Now that seems to be opposite, doesn't it? It says, correct your son, and he'll get you, bring you comfort. Now, I've seen this. Now, I don't think Pastor Andrew will mind me sharing this. When a child, and think about you being in this one. A child acts in rebellion in the house of God, all sorts of disruption. You've no idea what the young people did when we had the youth here. And nobody could do anything with them. And Pastor Andrew would suddenly go in there and the child would freeze and it would be dealt with. Later on, you'll see that same child coming around to him. It's connected. The child is connected. Because one of the things was that child probably had no boundaries. Suddenly somebody's instilled some boundaries and that child suddenly feels secure. Without a boundary, there is no security. You'll think around your house, you will have a boundary. That gives you security. If it was just open plan and everybody and anybody could come in and do what they like around your house, you wouldn't feel comfortable. But you have a boundary. And in the same way, you can establish the boundary with your child. The child knows what they can do and what they can't do. With human parenting, it can be imperfect. But God will show you your boundaries. He will tell you the boundaries. He will show them to you. And if you go where you shouldn't go, you will know from the inside. God will prompt you. You shouldn't be here. Or you shouldn't be doing that. Or whatever. He says, correct your son and he will give you comfort. He will also delight your soul. If you correct your child, and you bring them up with a sense of respect, they'll be a delight to you.
Yeah.
They will be, you will be honored with them and about them. Now, to that I've said, that's connection. That's connection. A lot of parents don't connect with the children. They're not involved. I mean, we used to take our children all over. They weren't interested in going particularly this, that, and the other, but the things that they were involved in, we encouraged them and wanted to be involved with. It weren't football with our Jonathan, he weren't interested, but more so with our daughter, with dancing, athletics, gymnastics, ballet, wherever else, and we were there with the interests. And they had the friends, but we didn't demand anything in terms of their friendship, but we tried to instill them what they should be looking for in terms of friendship. And I mean, as they were growing up, it didn't always work out right in the short term, but underlying, we tried to instill with them certain values that they retained. So God is He is intending instilling into you and me values that we will retain. And those values will stop us from doing things that we shouldn't be doing, going where we shouldn't go. Now there's a proverb here which is actually repeated again in the New Testament. It's repeated in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 to 8. But the proverb itself is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. It says, "My son, do not reject the discipline or instruction of the Lord, or loathe his reproof. For whom he loves, he reproves, even as a father the son whom he delights." If he loves you, he'll reprove you.
Yeah.
We know God loves you. We know God loves you. Every single one, without exception, God loves you. Just another one. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 13. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 13. "Take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life." I just want to tell you something about Jesus in relation to training. We think of Jesus being born knowing it all. Don't you? You think Jesus was perfect. Born perfect, knowing it all. I just want to share a couple of scriptures with you. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Although he was a son," that's Jesus, "although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered."
Yeah.
So Jesus learned from experience.
Yeah.
He had the obedience, but he had to learn. So, we think it, like when Jesus was born, he'd arrived and he knew it all, but he had to learn.
Yeah.
He had the perfect Father with the perfect love pouring perfection into him, but he had to learn obedience. He had to learn to be compliant, submissive, and attentive to what the Father said. He had to learn that. But he had the right heart to do it. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "He humbled himself by becoming obedient, even to the point of death."
Yeah.
That's Jesus. So Jesus had all the same things that we have, but he learnt the obedience. He didn't go faltering off the rails like we do when we're growing up. He had God the Father as his guide and his help and his strength. And he never let go. But there are times when we've let go. But God says, "I'll never let you go."
No.
God says, "I know what you've done. I love you. Come back. And I'm here." That's all God asks for us, to come to him. When we're out of sync with ourselves or with life or with others, God says, "Come to me. And I will get hold of you. I will sort you out. I will sort things out." And he says, "All you have to do is come to me." That's all he asks. He says, "Never give up." See, David, he really thought he'd blown it. He looked at another woman. He'd taken that woman. He got the husband killed.
Yeah.
You can't get much worse than that. Yet God forgave him.
Yeah.
He repented and God forgave him. There was consequences, but God forgave him. And he went on to say that David was A man like after my own heart. Aren't you glad that you're a child of God?
I am.
Aren't you glad that you belong to Him?
I am.
You know, with all the difficulties they have, all the problems that you have in life, God never lets you go. He says, God is perfect, perfect in love, perfect in discipline, perfect in guidance, and a perfect in destination.
Yeah.
Your destination, my destination. And this is God's training program for each one of us. He's got us in mind individually. He's taking you on a journey of learning. And all right, some might be further on than you, some might be, you know, less along the way. But we're all on that same journey of learning. And you know you're learning because you learn something new. One of the things is this: new every morning. New every morning is His love. Everything is new every morning. A new start. When you wake up in the morning, there's a new beginning. That day is new for you. And get round God's word. Get round and listen to what God says. I say these are good prompters, but if you get into the habit of reading a portion of Scripture every day, you start reading. Say you want to read John's Gospel, read a chapter a day, and you'll progress through. You know, and the other books that you can get hold of. When you start looking at the Book of Proverbs, that can be a bit of a handful to try and get all of to understand, but the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of John, all the things that come in, and other things in the Old Testament, Ezra and Nehemiah, you read the story of the account that they were people, ordinary people, working in God's plan, and you see how God worked. Book of Ruth that was shared the other week. That's quite a short book, but it shows how God can intervene in situations that seem impossible. But God's at work. He's got, the thing today to take from today is you're a child of God. Nobody can take that from you. No matter what the circumstances around you are, God cannot. God has got hold of you, and He will keep you. You might be faltering in your steps. God says, come on, let's train a bit harder. Let's learn some more and know how to listen to my voice and find out what you need to do and what you need to let go. And that's part of the journey of learning. Go back to that first verse. We'll finish with this. Train up a child in the way he should go. Train yourself up in the way he should go. And when you're old, you'll not depart from it. You're God's child, and you're God's child right up to the kingdom, that destination that will bring you into His kingdom. Amen. Praise God.